You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06. It is Friday morning, December 5th, 2025. Another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks for joining us on the radio or by podcast or through the app, however you got here. Way to wrap up the work week. Let's do it strong before the next round of snow comes in, and then cold, and then another round of snow, and then cold, and then another round of snow. And at some point, we're going to get back above freezing, just not in the near future. I got a question for you. If you could wave a magic wand and your next car would be a wood-paneled station wagon from 1971 that got 8 miles a gallon and blew out a choking cloud of exhaust, would you take that deal? Because Sean Duffy thinks you would. He wants to bring back the wood. He thinks that by cutting environmental standards for mileage requirements for automobiles, he, honest to God, really said this, the wood-paneled station wagon might make a comeback. Fine, Mr. Secretary, you first. Here's the other question that I do want to ask you about today, because it is apparently lighting things up online. And for that, we got to bring in our producer, Parker Olson, down in Madison Studio A2. The Milwaukee Brewers yesterday showed off their new road uniforms. They're not really new. They are, once again, going a bit retro. And instead of the road grays, they are going to have a powder blue top that says Milwaukee across it. That's right. They're bringing back the powder blue. But notice I said powder blue tops. And that, Parker, is where the controversy comes in. The comment section, as I'm looking through it at 4 o'clock this morning, is lit up. Tell the people why everybody else is so angry about these new road uniforms, Parker.
Gray pants.
Gray pants.
Why?
He didn't change the pants.
Why?
He didn't change the pants. All of the comments. And I mean all. I'm talking hundreds, because
yes.
I scrolled. And I cannot believe how worked up people are that they don't also have powder blue pants, which is pretty much what the Brewers uniform was from like 1971 to 1985.
Yeah.
Okay. The powder blue itself actually isn't all that new either, because of those Brew
City
Crew
Connect.
City Connect jerseys. So powder blue was gone from like 1985 to 2022.
Yeah.
So 3 years ago, they had these Brew Crew uniforms that I personally do not really like, but other people love it. But powder blue. So now powder blue is going to be the road unis, but not the whole uni. They're still going to keep the gray pants, and people have lost their mind.
Pat, it is absolutely the dumbest thing that they're not bringing back the powder blue pants. It is just absurd to me. It's like wearing powder blue tops and gray pants.
Yes.
Is like wearing a black suit jacket and like navy pants to me. Like, it
Ooh,
doesn't
very
make any
good.
Sense.
Look, I didn't realize what a fashionista you were.
I'm a very big uniform guy.
See, here's the thing. I would have seen it, when the season starts, and I would have said, ooh, could they not afford new pants? And I would have left it at that. But the fact that so many people want to get into the comment sections and say, what are you doing? Tells me that thankfully it's kind of a slow news week.
Part of the problem too to me is that this is the second time that they've done this, because I think that the City Connect should have had powder blue pants. Instead, they made white pants for the City Connects. We don't have white pants already. We have white pants with pinstripes, and we have cream colored pants. We don't have white pants. So they intentionally made those for the City Connect. It was a very, very, very intentional choice not to have powder blue pants, Pat, and I'm upset.
People are clearly upset about this. And I mean, look, they're not the only powder blue uniforms out there. There are a couple of other clubs that have brought it back. You know, the Minnesota Twins, for example, their whole 70s look is, you know, red, white, and blue pinstripe or striping on powder blue uniforms. So, I mean, it's not new, but boy, if you don't match the pants, yikes. So there we go. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Although what are we going to get a movement going here? And the team's going to go, you're right. We found some extra money between the couch cushions and we can afford to get the matching pants now. You know?
Yeah, I would love that to happen. I don't think it's going to happen because it was obviously a choice that they did this. And they think that this is the best.
Somebody thinks it's the best.
Somebody does. I don't know who, but somebody is wrong.
And somebody is really getting an earful online. Also coming up on the program today, we'll have our regular Week in Review panel. That would include former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. And we are going to talk to him about how the right-wing justices on the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday once again used a very shady tactic to engage in political activism. This time, they're letting Texas Republicans get away with rigging the congressional maps so that voters have less say over who represents them in next year's election. This is truly dirty stuff. Jim Santel will tell us more, but the upshot is this. They use the so-called shadow docket, where they issue emergency opinions on cases that are actually still pending. And this case is still pending. A lower court said the obvious. These maps are rigged. Get out of here. You can't use them. But the far-right justices, using the shadow docket, said, well, you know, while the case is working its way up to us, temporarily, we're going to allow those maps to be used, which kind of negates the whole purpose of bringing the case to court in the first place. So Jim Santel will tell us more. Maybe he'll tell me I'm wrong. We'll see how that goes. 855-75-CIVIC, again, our phone number to comment on that. Or anything else that's coming up today. Temperatures around the state range, they're all between 10 and 20. Everybody pretty much is in the teens, a couple of 10s, a couple of 20s, but otherwise everybody's in the teens across Wisconsin and awaiting the next round of light snow that'll be moving into western and then southwestern Wisconsin before long. Nothing heavy, but again, enough to slick up the roads and maybe force you to get the shovel out once again. And then we'll wait a day or two in the still cold weather before another round of potentially light snow comes through the area. So stay tuned to your Civic Media station for your local forecast throughout the day. In our Up North News Daily newsletter, which you can sign up for at upnorthnewswi.com, Ellie Bordeaux passes along another reader photo. It's a gorgeous one from Shawamigan Bay. I didn't read the particulars, so I don't know if it came out of the Ashland area, Bayfield, someplace else, but just a beautiful photo of the smoke rising off of Shawamigan Bay on a cold, cold day. Also a story about how federal cuts to special education are hurting Wisconsin kids in their schools. And then her Locals Love section, you know, it was a holiday week last week, so we didn't get a full week of shows to talk about this. But what she was asking last week was about, you know, favorite holiday dishes. And she tells us in today's newsletter that next week we'll get back into the locals theme of it. What's your favorite local supper club? Now, admittedly, not every place has what you would consider a supper club, but, you know, maybe enough of a formal restaurant or something that's close enough to a supper club that qualifies. And again, you know, this, we're not looking, you know, don't feel too competitive about it. We're just looking, where's the nice one in your area? Where is it that you like to go? Now, we have kind of an embarrassment of riches around here. We have several good supper clubs to choose from. We used to have quite a few more, but sadly, they've been, you know, closing up their doors over the past, you know, 10, 20 years or so. But again, there's still plenty to choose from, and we'd love to know if you have a favorite one. So throughout the course of next week, we may be asking you about that. And of course, to find out what the readers are saying, you can sign up for our newsletters over at upnorthnewswi.com. And that includes our Sunday morning newsletter that I put together that sums up the week's political news. So come on and be a part of that. Also coming up today, Mike Clemens will be talking about sports. We've, of course, got the Packers-Bears coming up this weekend. And if you missed it a few minutes ago, Mike Clemens mentioning that Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to be out 2 to 4 weeks with a calf injury and That's going to shake up an already shaken Milwaukee Bucks team. Dr. Kristen Lierley will be around as well, as she is on Fridays. And of course, if you can't stick around for all of this, well, you can always pod this program by heading over to Spotify or Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us that way. All right, Sean Duffy. You know, the guy that says, you know, don't wear your pajamas on the airplane. Apparently, you got to get all gussied up now. Again, he had a good first half of the message. Be civil, be nice at the airports. The dressing up thing, I'm not so sure about. Anyway, the transportation secretary, the former congressman for up north, has decided to go along with what the Trump administration is doing this week, and that is taking an axe to environmental standards for automobiles. You know, over the years, cars have gotten more and more fuel efficient, and that's helped car companies sell more cars. But, of course, the guy who'd love to have all the cars burning coal if he could has decided to weaken those rules. Well, Sean Duffy was asked about it when he was interviewed on CNBC, and basically, as the Huffington Post calls it, he went the full Clark Griswold on the return of one particular vehicle. His words were, "This rule," because he says it's all about choice, "this rule will allow you to bring back the 1970s station wagon, maybe with a little wood paneling on the side. We'll bring back choice to consumers. So yeah, the minivan is awesome, but maybe the station wagon is cool too." Those are the actual words of our former congressman up north and our secretary of defense. And I will again, as I've been saying since 2012, say, I can't believe I lost to this guy. But anyway, he has a tendency to say these things, and then the internet does its thing. Comments include, "Why do they keep insisting on bringing America backwards?" Another says, "Yeah, bring back that station wagon that got 8 miles to the gallon and spewed toxic fumes." Another says, "Nobody, especially those of us who drove a station wagon with wood paneling, ever wants to return to station wagons with wood paneling." Another says, "Next up from the Trump administration, rotary phones and asbestos." There's this one that says, "Relentlessly trying to convince the gullible that you can take America backwards." Another says, "Wouldn't it be nice if a certain political party decided to live in the present rather than trying to recreate the past?" Another says, "It's funny what parts of the past these guys want to revive. There were virtually no billionaires in the 1970s. Housing costs were lower. People weren't so stressed about their careers and dire consequences of failure. But Sean Duffy and company, they just want to bring back the gas guzzlers." And several people posting photos of Clark Griswold in the Woody from the vacation movies as well. And on it goes. And because, again, this whole thing about choice, that this is going to bring choice. Do you know what people have chosen over the years? They've chosen to spend less on gasoline or they've chosen to go with hybrids or EVs because they know the future. The future is more fuel efficient. We don't want to go back. And yet somehow you have an administration, a mindset of a president that says, you know, the good old days are going to make a comeback. Well, as Billy Joel said, you know, the good old days weren't always good, and tomorrow ain't as bad as it seems. But again, if you're going to romanticize it, you're going to damn us all to having choking clouds of exhaust again coming out of some people's cars in the name of choice. Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil joins us in just a bit to talk about this week's headlines. First, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your Friday mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back on this Friday morning, 6:22 now. Let's check in with Kia Vakil, Courier Newsroom's national political editor. Kia, hello. How are you?
I'm well, Pat. I'm glad the weekend's almost here.
Ah, you and me both. This is always a good milestone for me that we're getting there and we can look back on some of the week's headlines And a couple of them are fairly recent here. People may not have heard yet that yesterday, it looks like they may have finally found the guy that planted pipe bombs. It was at both party headquarters, right? Democratic and Republican. Overnight before January 6th, a lot of us weren't ever expecting to find that they have a suspect. It seems like they do now.
Yeah, they arrested a Virginia man, and, you know, 30-year-old, basically, you know, Attorney General Pam Bondi said they basically, the investigators went back through evidence that already the FBI had already collected and did not specify what in that evidence led to them to this man. And they said they did say there were no new tips. So, you know, we'll see. Like, I think we, if this is genuinely the suspect, that's great that there's going to be accountability. I am unfortunately at this point so skeptical of anything Pam Bondi or Kash Patel tell us without showing us the evidence. Mm-hmm. And I understand why they wouldn't. We have no reason not to believe in this instance that this man is a viable suspect. But, you know, we should want to see what determined that this man, Brian Cole, was the suspect.
Well, yeah, because look, just jumping into the next topic here, the one particular boat strike with the second missile attack on survivors clinging to wreckage. You see these reports, ABC had reports that, you know, sources said the two men were trying to make the boat upright and carry on with their drug run, which, I mean, that stretches credulity, that they're trying to overturn this boat. They were helpless in the water. So the lesson here is just because the administration or somebody quotes administration sources, that's not any kind of definitive view of things at all.
No, and it's definitely not. And just to be clear, there are some pieces of evidence in the charging documents themselves of this pipe bomber guy suspect. So if those pan out, then that's great investigative work. You know, in terms of the boat situation, that's just one of the most egregious things I've ever seen, to be honest. And, you know, no one's saying that drug traffickers shouldn't face the legal system or some form of actual.
The legal system, right. As opposed to, you know, whatever this is that's happening here. And I think the thing that was just not good for me was to have Democrats and Republicans in a closed-door hearing yesterday see the full video, and the Republicans come out of it and say, nope, nothing to see here. That to me is troubling.
Yeah, and I mean, you saw there was a Democratic congressman named Jim Himes who came out and said it's one of the most troubling things he's ever seen in public life.
And he has a long career of being in these closed-door meetings. He's not like some schlep off the street. He knows what he's talking about and says these guys were shipwrecked and, you know, we shouldn't have done what got done.
Yeah, and look, I understand drug traffickers are not sympathetic figures. I completely understand that. I wouldn't argue that. But they're human beings and their legal system exists for a reason.
Right.
And if we are now saying that we can just at will bomb people because we want to, or because, you know, a lunatic is in charge of the War Department, Defense Department, whatever you want to call it, that sets an unbelievably dangerous precedent. Rules are supposed to exist. Laws are supposed to exist for a reason, because if you don't have that, then what you have is chaos and violence, and we're just back to our, you know, most base selves. And I don't think people should want that, because then we've seen what happens in history when there aren't structures to deal with these sorts of disputes.
And guess what? We see that in the ICE arrests lately as well. Yep. New York Times put out some numbers on Thursday that showed that compared to how things used to be when, you know, the arrests of immigrants, a much higher percentage of them had actually been facing criminal charges. But here we're talking single digits in terms of the percentage of these people that are being arrested who were facing some kind of criminal charge. Hardly the so-called bad guys that Trump said they were going to be rounding up. It sounds much more to me like a police state, a race-based police state.
That's exactly what it is. It's, you know, they've been greenlit to racially profile by Brett Kavanaugh in the Supreme Court. They are fully just going after anyone who is, you know, appears to be brown in public, basically. They are detaining and arresting U.S. citizens and then later releasing them because they don't, it's fully based on who they think, based on their idea of what an undocumented immigrant is, who they think that is, that's who they're going after. And yeah, obviously when you racially profile people, you are going to arrest people who are undocumented immigrants, but they're arresting people with no criminal charges. They're landscapers, they're construction workers, they are roofers, they are food vendors, they are school teachers, as we've seen. They are people who contribute to their communities, who make a living, who pay taxes, who, you know, are live in this country for decades in many cases. Some of them came here as six month olds. And you're telling me that those people are dangerous? No. Most of the people being detained have no violent convictions. An overwhelming percentage do not. And basically, you know, this is Trump. We've seen Trump repeatedly use the frame remigration. This has nothing to do with undocumented immigration. He wants to make all immigration illegal unless it's white South Africans.
Yeah. Let's close on a lighter note with just a few seconds we have left here. How's that ballroom coming along at the White House?
It hit a bit of a speed bump this week. Trump fired the architect who he had hired to build it, seemingly after some disagreements about how big it should be.
Why? Did this guy not understand the word huge? Because that, I'm sure that was his only instruction. Make it huge and gold leafed.
Yeah, unclear. Basically, Trump wants it to be huge, and the architect and his firm apparently had raised some concerns about it being bigger than the actual White House itself, I can understand why someone would have a concern about that. But yeah, it's not fully clear if he fired him or if he quit or if they just, parted ways in some, but
it's not going anywhere fast is what we're trying to say here.
Exactly.
Yeah. Don't plan to your reservation yet to hold prom there or something like that. So Kia Vakil, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Have a good start to the weekend.
You too. Thanks, Pat.
I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's time once again for today's history lesson on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles!
That's one small step for man.
Well, I'm not a crook.
Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
You know, this depression is going to be so great. We'll be the ones eating the cats and the dogs. That's going to be fun.
Once again, it is time to take another revealing peek back into history.
We kick off today's history lesson with a little Richard Penniman. You know him better as Little Richard. Born this day in 1932, a little long, tall Sally to kick things off. For the late Little Richard, passed away back in 2020. Welcome to today's history lesson on a Friday. Wait, did I say Friday, Parker?
You did. What does that mean, Pat? It
means Greg Bach is here. Boys and girls, Greg Bach has joined us for our Friday history lesson.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the history lesson.
Even Little Richard is singing for that one. That's great. How are you?
I'm doing quite peachily keen. I'm loving this song. The nearly 10-hour, probably even more, Beatles anthology was remastered, redone, and re-released on Disney Plus over Thanksgiving. And this song is a huge part of the first episode, as the Beatles were very, very, very influenced by Little Richard. So hearing that song takes me back to watching that episode so long last week ago.
But now I have to rewatch it. It's been, like you said, 30 years.
There's added bits of interviews. Uh-huh. They've taken some things out, which I don't really like. But and then they've added a whole nother episode that's completely devoted to the songs they did off of John Lennon's demos.
Although I remember from the Beatles' Love album, I loved what they did with Strawberry Fields Forever.
Oh yes,
you heard three different phases of it. It's very earliest phase, a middle phase, and then the final phase, and they strung that all together as one song.
Yeah.
That part of it was really nice.
Yeah.
Also born this day, Walt Disney in 1901. He passed away in 1966. Or did he?
Dun, dun, dun.
Head in a bucket.
Telling me?
somewhere in a freezer.
Put his head in a bucket of water, freeze it for a while, and just we'll come back to it later. I don't know.
For those who don't follow, I guess he was big into cryogenics.
What?
when I was a kid, I watched the show iCarly a lot. It was on Nickelodeon, and there was an episode where they were going to like a TV network, and they did a like spoof of this, and like the guy's head was frozen. Yeah.
Oh wow.
I did not know the reference then, but I do now.
That is very, very deep comedy for children.
I know. I'm glad we could fill in the blank since your iCarly days, which were, what, 3 years ago, that we can finally fill that in for you. That's
really a joke to say, like, we know adults are watching this with the kids. Let's give them something.
Yep. See, I always like that, though. You got to throw the adults a bone. That's the key right there.
Absolutely.
This day in 1964, I didn't even know the Beach Boys had a concert album. I'm not used to hearing, like, screaming fans at a Beach Boys concert, but they did have a concert album, and it went to number one this day in 1964.
Round, round, get around, I get around. Yeah, get
no. Sorry, Parker.
I now realize
that I gave you the link to the actual concert album.
Yeah, all right, did.
Well, all right, well, Parker.
Wait,
I'm changing it now. Hang on.
Oh, man. Guys, ladies, kids, in between, this is live radio.
This is live radio when Parker just decides to get lazy and look up the thing instead of actually
instead of clicking on the links I sent you.
Yes.
I totally get it.
All right.
Parker,
here we go.
Because of people like you, this next song we're going to sing sold over 1 million copies for us. It was number one in the nation.
Round, round, get around. I get around.
See, to me, it's like you took the screamers from the Beatles at the Ed Sullivan show, and you dropped them into a Beach Boys album. You don't normally hear that together.
Yeah, it's very interesting to hear that, and just in the '60s, like those fans did not hear that music at all. They just heard other people screaming.
Yes, yeah, I hear that all the time. They didn't really hear the songs exactly. Yeah. We have a birthday to note today, Christian Yelich. Turns 34 years old today. Nice. And I want to know what Christian Yelich thinks of the powder blue uniforms with the gray pants. Did you hear the big controversy here, Greg?
I got an email from the brewer saying, hey, you know what? The powder blue is back. Why don't you buy it yourself for probably $300? I'm fine with it. I don't care. That doesn't bother me. I grew up with the powder blue.
But the controversy. They didn't change the pants. They're still using the gray road pants. With the powder blue tops, and the comment sections have lost their collective minds. As has Parker. Parker feels very strongly.
Parker, do me a favor, because you know I have a mortgage to pay. Sorry, that was very old man of me to say. I apologize.
That was ageist of you.
I didn't like that at all that I just said there. I apologize. Send me a link to that. I want to look at this for myself because I saw powder blue in my email, and then I heard powder blue, and I'm like, hi.
The Journal Sentinel does a story. Yeah, it's getting traction. Anyway, on this day in 1933, the 21st Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was ratified. What did that mean? It meant the end of Prohibition on this day in 1933. All right, we're going to go from the Beach Boys to the Beatles. Tomorrow marks the 60th anniversary, 1965, of the day when the Beatles released an album and a double-sided single. They were very productive back in that day.
Wow. Yeah.
The single was We Can Work It Out, and then this was on the flip side.
I mean,
I can't believe Day Tripper's the flip side of something. Now, the album was no afterthought. So they released this double-sided single, and then they released Rubber Soul.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You know, Nowhere Man, In My Life, Norwegian Wood. So here's an album. Here's a couple of singles. I mean, if you thought Taylor Swift was dumping things on people, she learned a lesson from the best 60 years ago this weekend.
That to me, like, there's something about that in the old days where bands would put out, like, 2-3 records a year.
Yeah. Yep.
And you know, nowadays you're like, oh, we just released an album 7 years later.
Oh, I know. People are like, hey, where's Rihanna? It's been, you know, 7-8 years.
That's like, never happening again. I don't think she's ever gonna make another record again.
Nope.
But then like less than a year later, you get Revolver, you know, just
yes,
a pittance of an album with no hits. No one ever remembered it again.
No, of course not. And then there's your one-hit wonders, which takes us to our next birthday, and that would be Andy Kim, who is 79 years old today. This is in your 70s bubblegum hall of fame right here.
Do you know what I say about people who are one-hit wonders, Pat? Mm-hmm.
What's that?
One more hit than I got, so I'm not going to hate on him.
Yep, exactly. And the thing is, here's the asterisk. He's actually not quite a one-hit wonder. It's more like one and a half. Because it turns out...
Did you collaborate on
something? He was part of the Archies, the cartoon show, the Saturday morning cartoon. And he co-wrote their hit Sugar Sugar. And was one of the singers in the Archies.
Well, then I say he's got two hits.
I'd say one and a half since nobody knew he was in the Archies till then. Andy Kim is 79 today.
Did you just say you've never heard of the Archies?
Not once.
Oh, boy. Okay. Comic books? Comic books.
The show Riverdale. Do you know the show Riverdale?
I've heard of it.
That is a dark version of the Archies.
A dark, very adult version of the Archies.
That's funny. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So Andy Kim is 79. 1 year younger is Jim Messina. He turns 78 years old today. Your mama don't dance and your daddy don't log and roll. This, of course, was Loggins and Messina.
Yeah.
Kenny Loggins and Jim Messina, who turned 78 years old today. Before Kenny Loggins went off, and he did a few things on his own.
Went off into the wind, and no one ever heard from him again.
Never, ever.
I just saw a great clip from The Office where he gets in the car and says, put on some Loggins. He goes, all right, find some Loggins and Messina. He goes, did I say Messina?
And Jim Messina, again, no slouch. He was in Buffalo Springfield and then Poco after Loggins and Messina. So he done good, too. 78 years old today. Happy birthday to him. On this day in 1766, you've heard of Christie's Auction House in London. Mm-hmm. On this day in 1766, auctioneer James Christie held his first ever sale in London. On this day in 1776, Phi Beta Kappa, the oldest academic honor society, held its first meeting at the College of William and Mary. On this day in 1993, at a video shoot for the Travis Tritt remake of the Eagles' Take It Easy, the Eagles themselves reunited. Well, I'm running down the road, Now, I really liked the Travis Tritt tune, and I really liked, and I'm going to bring the volume up here for the chorus. I like this part. I'm like, these background singers, they got really good harmony. It turns out it was the Eagles themselves who were singing this.
That video shoot led to them reuniting.
And that video shoot, as I continue reading my notes, led to them reuniting.
Good
because
job.
They You're had not been give me a heads up, bro.
They had been broken up for 13 years to that point. And the next year, 1994, they got back together after what they called a 14-year vacation. So
it's funny because a certain generation, like Parker's generation, grew up with the Eagles in their life on the radio, knowing they're a band touring that their parents might go see. Whereas I grew up knowing that the Eagles would rather fight each other in a boxing ring than get back together on stage.
Yes. Which again, we'll say for the umpteenth time, if you've never seen the Eagles documentary, you got to. Because it includes the footage of them breaking up. I mean, literally breaking up, almost getting into a fist fight on stage.
And if you want to know if it's got a bias towards one member or other, check who the executive producers are of the documentary.
Yeah, that's always an important thing with musical documentaries.
Yeah.
On this day in 1848, in a message to Congress, President James Polk confirms that large amounts of gold have been discovered in California, starting the California Gold Rush on this day in 1848. The AFL-CIO is the result of a merger this day in 1955 between the American Federation of Labor and the Congress of Industrial Organizations. And let's see what's on the National Day calendar from one Parker Olson.
Well, unlike the Brewers, I am wearing blue pants today because it's Blue Jeans Day.
we're holding on to that gray pants thing.
Yeah, I just saw a picture. It's very odd looking.
It is very odd looking. It's like the equipment manager lost half the bags.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, only the bags with the shirts arrived. All right.
Are these the pants?
Yeah.
Totally. Mm-hmm. That's the ticket.
So today is National Blue Jeans Day?
Yes, it is. Right. As you mentioned earlier, it is also Walt Disney Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it is National Ninja Day.
National Ninja Day?
Yes, and every 10-year-old boy is so excited.
Oh, yeah. They're all over that. They're all wanting to wear their ninja costume to school today. Can totally see that. Greg, were you ever a ninja?
No, I was a Spider-Man.
Oh, sure. That totally makes
sense. That
was
my thing. I liked dressing up as Spider-Man as a little kid.
Uh-huh. So there's your national day calendar for today. Still ahead, we've got our Week in Review panel with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, journalists Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze. In our 8 o'clock hour, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be here. Mike Clemens will join us with sports. We might ask him about the powder blue uniforms, the tops only, the gray pants. It is a scandal of epic proportions rocking Wisconsin on this Friday morning. I'm Pat Wrightlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Nice to have you back on this Friday morning. It's December 5th. I'm Pat Wrightlow in Chippewa Falls, Parker Olson in Madison, Greg Bach joining us from Radio Park in Racine. You get to hear him more as part of Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11. Well, a limited time only. This is a limited time offer to listen to Jane and Greg together.
Six more episodes.
This is a rough time. You've got my old co-anchor, Judy Clark, legend here in Eau Claire. Today is her final day broadcasting. And the next Friday will be Jane Mantenere. These two women wrapping up just amazing careers, almost a century of broadcast experience between them, and all of it good.
Yeah.
Just
wonderful.
I actually
got a friend suggestion on, not her friending me, but a request for Judy Clark, and her picture is like her from, looks like the 70s or 80s, and it looks really cool. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. I should also say, let's see, if this is one of those, maybe I shouldn't have started this because I can't explain it properly on radio, but there's Christmas greetings that would be done at the TV station every year because, you got time to fill in the commercial breaks. And so you go from each person, and they do a little something funny. And Judy's thing, one year when her two boys were really little, she found a dress, basically it looked like a Christmas tree. And she had her two little boys putting decorations on the tree. And she said something about, next year I'm going to get a real tree. Well, people loved it so much that Christmas tree dress, she was making jokes about it for 25 years now.
That's awesome.
And so in her last Christmas greeting here, she was talking about hanging it up as in a career and of course, as in the dress. And so the retirement party's coming up, and I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to cry.
There's dust in your eye.
There's going to be dust in my eye because nobody deserves better retirements than Judy Clark and Jane Mantenere. So, again, we just
get to wish
them well.
And Jane's probably listening to this right now, so she's like, shut up, Pat.
She probably is. Before we get to any entertainment news here, Greg, I know the Laughing Tap for the longest time was looking for a new home.
Yes.
You found it.
Yes.
And it'll be now you're sprucing it up, shall we say.
Correct. We are sprucing it up. We have found a new location. It is located in the historic Watts Building on Jefferson in Milwaukee, around the Cathedral Square area. So if you know Cathedral Square in Milwaukee, it's right there in the famous Watts Building. Beautiful, beautiful architecture on that building. And we are in the construction phase. And we don't have an open date yet, and we're not saying that right now, but the workers are in the room building walls and tearing out carpet and making things happen that I could never do. I would just ruin everything. But if you want to be part of the fun and you would like to possibly give to the campaign, we have a GoFundMe going on. You can go to laughingtap.com, click on the link, go right to the top of the page. It's right there. Give what you can if you can. If you can't, I understand. Times are tough. I'm not going to force the issue. All I would ask is that you share it, maybe on social media, and let people know about it, because this is a local business run by local artists trying to do good by the community and try to contribute versus trying to come in and take all your money.
There
so,
you go.
Yeah, LaughingTap.com for more information.
All right. Sounds great. Parker, what are you looking at for entertainment news?
What am I looking at for entertainment news, Pat?
I don't know. You
looking
tell me.
At George Foreman in auction for his gold medal from the
They're 19th. Selling him? His boxing gloves?
Wait, is this a cryogenics thing too?
Yes, his head is in a box.
No.
We there's an auction for his 1968 gold medal that he won. I think there's like a day and a half or so left on the auction. Right now it's only at $6,500 at the top bid, so achievable.
Yeah.
Maybe.
What we're going to do is we're going to get 30 friends to get together, and then we'll just send it around the country, and everyone can have it in their house for a week and a half.
Yeah. No, he won that in Mexico City when he was 19 years old. So that'll fetch a pretty penny, no doubt there. All right. What else you got?
News that I saw this morning when I got up. Netflix is buying Warner Bros. Studio and streaming.
What?
I like that. Warner Bros. I like that. Such a modern touch.
Hey, man. Warner Bros. Wait, they actually
Warner Bros.
They accepted the offer.
I don't know if it's quite accepted yet, but it is very, very close.
It must be. The story came in overnight. It was posted that Netflix will acquire Warner Brothers for $83 billion. And so it will see the streamer Netflix acquire Warner Studio, HBO, HBO Max, and access to intellectual property that includes DC Comics, Harry Potter, Game of Thrones. Get this by the co-CEO of Netflix, Ted Sarandos. Our mission has always been to entertain the world. I feel like I need an echo effect. Our mission has always been to entertain the world.
World.
Oh, that was great, you guys. By combining Warner Brothers' incredible library of shows, from timeless classics like Casablanca and Citizen Kane to modern favorites like Harry Potter and Friends, we'll be able to do that even better. But again, for $83 billion, my question to you, Greg, is when's the first price hike from Netflix and how bad will it be?
I mean, this is not, I'm sorry, but this isn't good.
It's not going to, no, it's, we talk about this on the show all the time, the anti-competitive stuff. Again, it's not a monopoly, but when you're shrinking the amount of competitors,
yeah,
it's not good.
And you're making it so that no one can actually start anything either.
Right.
When the competition is worth hundreds of billions of dollars, I'm not going to sit here going, you know what I want to do is I want to create this thing, because it's like, I will get nowhere. And will it be HBO as a standalone service, or will it all just be on Netflix? And yeah, will it be $50 a month?
Yes, I think it will at some point in the not too distant future.
Yeah.
And people will go, if only there was some alternative, you know, like cable or something, but they,
or a newspaper,
or a Read newspaper, a or a comic book for Parker, and
exactly,
we can finally
exactly.
introduce him to the Archies.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
That's a whole different episode. Greg Bach, thank you so much for kicking
Thanks
off
for
the weekend
me.
With us.
Yeah, you guys have a great weekend.
All right,
you
as well. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour here, of course, we will have our Week in Review panel, but we will also have our 12 Days of Community Kindness will continue at 7:45. And right after the news, we will have the latest keyword in our grown-up gift list text to win contest. So get that Civic Media app and get set to text us a word I am going to give you right after the news for your chance to win a daily prize and grand prizes as well. Welcome to our mornings powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.